according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
As John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, Jesus passed, and John stared hard at him and said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." Hearing this, the two disciples followed Jesus. Jesus turned round, saw them following, and said, "What do you want?" They answered, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where do you live?" He replied, "Come and see." And so they went and saw where he lived and stayed with him the rest of that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of these two who became followers of Jesus after hearing what John had said was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. Early next morning, Andrew met his brother and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ. And he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked hard at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," meaning rock. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If you start to hear voices in your head, it's highly likely you ought really to go to doctors. Because it's one of the classic signs of a very terrible mental illness. And yet if Samuel had reached for the medical dictionary instead of saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," history might have been very different. After all, Samuel was the one who came to anoint a king for the first time. And if Samuel hadn't listened to his voice, there would have been no King David. And so we should have been without the sons of David. We should have been without Solomon. And the Queen of Sheba would never have arrived. And worst of all, there may have been no Messiah. The picture of a voice in the head for the call of God may not be history. But the listening for God is real. And bears fruit in real lives and real passions. And it's trying to find out what, in our real experience, the voice of God is like, how it comes to us, that we grow up religiously. John the Baptist was a man who was attuned to the things of God. And this made him a prophet. He was able to speak to his time in a voice that seemed to come from God. And people listened to it because they heard in it a message which had authority. Something inside them responded to what he said with that religious obedience which made them sense that God was speaking. And so he acquired disciples. And when John said of Jesus, "This is the Lamb of God," they listened. And because he told them that he was there really to bear witness to someone else, they began to follow the one who pointed out in this way. What did he mean by saying the Lamb of God? mysterious language. But God sent the people a lamb in Egypt to be their sacrifice and to have its blood on their doorposts for the passing over of the angel of death. And this blood of the lamb sealed their covenant with God, which brought fruit in liberation from Egypt and the journey to the promised land and their freedom and their history, their future. Since those days, religion had become internalized. When the exile took from them all the externals of their religion, their temple and their sacrifices and their king, their nation, their country, they made these things internal. They became themselves a promised land. They became themselves a sacrifice. They became themselves a people of God. And the geography and the history receded in importance, no longer spoke to them. But when they saw a person who was to be their new land, to be the beginning in his own life of a new covenant with God, they followed him. Still shrouded in mystery, he had the authority which made them into disciples. Rabbi, they said, where do you live? And he replied, come and see. It's all happened very quickly. And next week we'll be reading the same notions in the Markan account of the call of Andrew. It's quite different. In a way, the history doesn't matter. What matters is that they found the one whom they wanted to follow. And he turned to them and said, come and see. I think that John's Gospel always has the power to make us enter more deeply into our experience. We live in an unholy world. We live in an unhallowed civilization. I was watching some members of parliament and visiting a prison, I was going to say in prison, but anyway, visiting a prison yesterday and talking to prisoners. And one of the prisoners said, well, of course, nobody's honest nowadays, are they? Nobody. Even MPs aren't honest. And the MP, all hail fellow Wilmette, said, oh, well, there's good and bad everywhere, isn't there? And the prisoner said, yeah, nobody honest. And the acceptance of a world where nothing is good, nothing is quite right, nothing is holy, is what is called maturity in the eyes of the world, to become hard-nosed, to become hard-bitten. And nobody who accepts that as a condition of life is ever going to be a disciple. Nobody like that is ever going to have an open heart and be ready to listen. And that should be the characteristic which people sense in us, as these disciples sense it in Jesus. When John said, this is a lamb, he knew that Jesus was prepared for the sacrifice which could inaugurate a new covenant, a new testament. And that's what the disciples followed. Not knowing anything. Not knowing perhaps even what they wanted, which is what Jesus asked of them. What do you want? And yet they're ready to follow, to listen, and to become learners. In the past, religion has often settled in an icebreaker and set itself to plough through the world. We have taken on us what Jesus calls Peter, the rock. And what is meant to be a foundation stone has often become a weapon or a missile. the certainty which we long for is not to be found even in figures like Peter, who was a distinctly rocky disciple when the heat came on. The rock is Christ, and Christ risen from the dead, that Christ who is beyond the power of evil. And we shall only find him by becoming followers and saying, show us where you are alive. Show us where you live. And when he says, come and see, he's not inviting us to have a day away. He's asking us to set out and to come with him on his journey to the resurrection. Let us proclaim our faith. We believe in one God.